Welcome to episode 114 of Anime and Us. I'm TJ.
And I'm Sean.
And this is the review show that reviews anime from A to Z. Sort of.
Alright guys, so last episode, for Category U, we got UQ Holder. Before we get into anything, I might have said on stream, I can't remember if that I saw a couple episodes of it. Definitely didn't.
Oh.
Yeah, for some reason, I'm mixing something up, or I think I actually said I read a couple chapters of the manga, but either way, I was mixing it up with something else. I had never seen this before.
Well, you tend to mix things up. I just edited it over this recent episode, and you said we spun for Category N, and it was I.
That's great. Did you edit it?
No, nope, I left it in.
I just left it in there. That's an Easter egg for you guys. Anyway, it's a Japanese... UQ Holder is a Japanese manga series written and illustrated by Ken Akamatsu, serialized in Kodansha's Weekly Shonen Magazine from 2013 to 2016. When it came into an anime, is not written there, so I'm going to scroll down on the right here and look at anime television series. 2017 of October to December of 2017. 12 episodes.
Yeah, I thought it was actually kind of newer than that.
Well, 17's pretty good. 4 years ago? That sounds, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. It just...
Less, actually.
It felt like something that was made recently that they're going to make a sequel to.
Yeah, it needed a sequel. I mean, not that I wanted it to have a sequel, but the story is not finished yet,
It feels like something that's popular today that is automatically going to get a sequel. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but, I mean, 4 years, no sequel.
Yeah.
Could it still come out with one? Sure.
With good reason, no sequel. This show sucked.
Yeah, it's terrible. There's really nothing particularly good. We say this a lot. There's nothing good about it. You know, art's nice. Dialogue's meh, and then terrible, but it goes back to meh. The plot, I mean... What is the plot, even?
Well, it's the same... not the same problem, but we said this in our Inspector review, which was released, like, last year, that anime. Quality is not enough.
Yeah.
Like, you need something more than good drawing and
yes,
good...
Yes, it can't just be pretty.
Yeah, so it need to have story or something, but I don't know, get into the premise of this weird
one. The premise was weird in the very beginning. It's just a kid in high school with his friends trying to attack his teacher for some reason. I don't remember the reason given, but something would happen if they landed an attack on her. I forget what it was. They could go to the city and to the tower.
You know what? I did read something that this was a sequel to a different series.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Huh.
I didn't
see that on the wiki just now.
Yeah, and I know, but I read it somewhere. I don't know why.
Oh.
Yeah, because it felt like we were dropped in.
Into a world that's already lived in.
Yeah, and I feel like it's a sequel to a different series. Maybe, I think it was
called... Maybe that's the one that I read.
Seika or something? S-E-I-K-A? Beats
me.
I think that's what I read, but I don't remember.
Anyway, so if they land a hit on their teacher, I believe that they got to go to the city, which had a orbital elevator that... I don't know if it brought them to a space station, the moon, or Mars, but it brought you up somewhere.
I know that all those places existed.
And they talked about all those places a lot. Yeah. But it only makes sense that it goes to space. It doesn't make sense that it brings you to Mars. Unless there's a space station that should, put you in a shuttle to Mars and that's the way to get there. But yeah, I assume it's a space station.
I think it would be pretty hard to build an orbital space station
That was my point. Or to the moon. The moon moves.
Yeah, well, that too.
So that's the beginning premise of the first episode. They go along and f*** around a bit, and apparently there's a teacher, not their teacher, but a teacher in the school, that brings the main character, forget his name, and two of his friends aside. The three of them are pretty much trying to attack the teacher, get a hit on her.
Yeah, he's helping her.
And he's like, all right, look, here, I got some magic items for you that'll help you out. They don't really explain what they do to us at all, but, you know, they do things like teleport you, freeze her, or whatever. I don't know. Well, they end up incapacitating her for a bit, just enough for the other teacher that supplied the magic weapons to show up and start, like, apparently he's a bounty hunter.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
An immortal monster hunter.
Yeah. And we find that she's a vampire at this point in time, even though it's daylight.
Well, actually, we didn't. We found out after he chopped her into pieces.
Yeah, so he's, like, chopping her up in pieces because, like, he knows what her powers are, and wants to contain it.
So this is where we find out that the show is really bloody.
For no reason.
And really...
Really, I got nothing wrong with blood.
Right, but it's bloody and graphic, but I think they thought that was enough to replace, you know...
Substance?
Yeah.
Substance,
yeah. Substance and, you know, character development and story development.
Yeah, not enough. Neither was the gratuitous titties that you see later on.
Oh yeah, that was...
Wasn't enough. Anyway,
you forgot. It actually didn't open with the kids. It opened in a flashback.
Yes.
With a like
which didn't make any sense until much later.
A 12-year-old teacher, I guess he was a prodigy or something, in a school with nothing but girls. Women. 30 girls who are all in love with him.
Much older than him, too. He looks like an 11, 10-year-old. Yeah. And they're easily 16, 17.
Yeah.
Of course. Anyway, so the guy traps the teacher, cuts her into pieces, and then the main character gets f***ed up. I forget exactly how he gets injured, but he gets f***ed up by the other teacher. Off. And he's dying.
But also that flashback that we were just talking about, I think that's where it confused me, and I think that's why it's a sequel to a different show. I mean, I could be completely wrong, because it feels like we should have already known all that stuff.
I think it's just bad writing and bad directing. Yeah, that's what I think. I'm not saying it wasn't, but if it wasn't a part of another series or a sequel to something else, then it's just bad directing.
Well, no, there's that too, but it feels like it just picked up from a different series. You know what I'm saying? Like, we should already know these established characters. Yeah,
just, we'll see. I guess maybe we'll do some research afterwards.
We won't do any research.
Anyway, so he's cut up and dying, and in order for him to live, somehow the asshole teacher that's chopping everyone up is distracted for a moment. And
he's gonna kill the other kids.
Yeah, so that's what it was. So the main character drinks her blood and turns into a vampire. Voila! Yeah. And then he saves the day.
He doesn't. I mean, vampires in this just means you just regenerate, essentially.
Yeah, you're stronger. I assume you're faster. They don't really get into that. What they really do tell you, though, is that you're heal.
Yeah, essentially.
And you live forever.
And this is where we get, you know, introduced to different immortals and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then the teacher is in hiding, the vampire teacher, which is his adopted mother,
yes.
Essentially. So they go to start walking to the city for some reason, one of those cars in this world.
Yeah, like the highways are like abandoned and, you know, overgrown with grass and shit, and they're deteriorating. For some reason, there's no cars. But there were cars at some point, and they never explained that.
No, there's cars, because they show up the whole...
But my point is, though, is they built an entire highway and then let it fall to ruin. But there's cars, but no one's using them anymore. There's a few, one or two.
It's like it's a technologically advanced world after a post-apocalyptic world.
Yeah, it's just weird. Like, if you're technologically advanced... Like, it would understand, like, you know, for the time being, for the roads to be f***ed up, but after, like, a couple years, you fix it.
Yeah.
You all have cars, and you're using them. It's not like you have f***ing teleportation devices.
And you don't know that.
They didn't show it, so.
That's fair, too, but.
Like, they go to do a mission later on, and they run, instead of taking a car, and they didn't talk about any other form of transportation. Anyway. They're going to the city, because she has... I don't know what the reason was given why they were going towards the city,
He wanted to go, essentially.
I guess because he landed a hit on her is what it counted as.
No, because they have the run, because now that she's found out because of the bounty hunter.
Well, they go to the city, and she has, like, this, you know, area, village-type place that's hers. It's not even, like, a single house. There's a bunch of houses. And is it all hers? But at the same time, I don't really know, because there's, like, a separate company with maids and stuff that live there and take care of people.
Before that, we're introduced to...
Yeah, we're introduced to a couple other vampire/immortals.
Well, we're introduced to the androgynous samurai sword guy girl.
Yeah, I forget his name, her name. Very androgynous, but they say he's a guy for a while, and then eventually we find out he's sexless, but then he can choose his sex.
Yeah.
Really unneeded.
It was.
Super forced, really unneeded.
And it's just there so that he can be in love with the main character.
Yeah, just
so
another character to be in love with him.
But
did this have a harem tag?
No, but it felt like a harem.
It very much is. It should have had that.
Except in harems, the main character usually doesn't choose someone, and he eventually does.
He makes a choice.
At the very end.
Good on him. Breaking one of the many, many tropes. Anyway.
So she has a secret organization of immortals who likes...
Called UQ Holders?
Yeah, and it's a stupid name.
Yeah, did we ever get an explanation for that?
No. No.
I felt so confused. Like, why do they keep calling each other, we're the UQ Holders? What the f*** does it stand for?
I don't know. It does. There's immortal starts with an I.
I don't know. And like you find out later on that essentially their organization, the UQ Holders, just protect the interests of poor people and stuff and keep them safe.
Yeah.
Or defend them. They don't really keep them safe
because
they don't even feed them, even though they're f***ing rich and have lots of money. Feed the poor f***ing people.
But you know. The corporations, I guess, and the rich people are separated from them. They're up in space while everyone else is down.
Yeah, the rich people are up in space and all that. Yeah. The poor people live down in the slums.
So, I don't know. This show is stupid. Now, not only is he a vampire, But he's also a mage, like a descendant.
But he never really uses any magic.
No, but he also gets a gravity sword. He is like a Mary Sue character. He is everything.
And although he can't use magic, he has magic in him that comes out in abilities where he's essentially super fast and strong. It's really
all right. And all the girls love him. This is definitely a Mary Sue character, or whoever the writer is behind this, because everything is this guy.
And he fixes everything.
Right.
Even when he makes the problem, which is pretty often, he eventually fixes it.
Yeah.
The one thing I liked about this was the training with the martial arts guy. They didn't go in enough detail at all, and they f***ing did it so goddamn quick. They shoehorned it so fast. But when he was training him how to use his flash step, that was okay.
With the werewolf.
Yeah, with the werewolf. Before he knew he was a werewolf, he was just a martial arts guy.
Yeah, but I thought you meant the drunken martial artist down in the basement with the sword.
I was about to say
he's training him with the sword for 5 minutes, and all of a sudden...
Well, it's the same thing with Flash Up. He trained with it for about 5 minutes, and he got really f***ing good at it.
Yeah, it's the exact same thing. He's also very good at learning stuff really quickly.
At least with the sword, it was like a training montage. This kid literally learned a really advanced technique overnight.
Yeah, well... Like I said, he's a Mary Sue.
But the explaining of it, like the whole gripping of the world, you're the only one on the world, you have to believe in yourself type of thing, that was kind of cool. They didn't go into nearly enough detail. You know I like my magic systems and how they work and all that.
Yeah.
But whatever. Other than that, this show's terrible.
I mean, and that training montage is while he's on mission trying to help other poor people, so...
At least the sword one, they weren't doing anything. Yeah. They were just hanging out.
Essentially, it's just a bunch of hijinks. People come out of the woodwork to
fight. They fight them, and
at one point, there's a tournament for no reason.
Yeah, well, that was just pushed in there at the end.
Yeah, it's seriously, it's just like they took all the popular major.
There was a hot spring episode or a bath episode. I can't remember if it was a hot spring or not, but it had it. Had to throw it in there. Yeah, too much.
So essentially, he's a descendant of a great mage who used to work with the vampire.
Quote unquote descendant. We find out that he's not really a descendant so much as he's like a cloned copy of him and another great mage. And they had done 71 or 72 other trials that didn't work out. And then he's the one that worked.
Well, essentially, so this great mage went up to Mars with a couple other people and defeated the greatest enemy witch of all time. But when you kill the witch, she takes over your body, and now she has the great mage's body, and that's the whole plot. They're coming for him because he's a clone of the guy, and they need his help for some reason.
To save all of humanity, and they never really go, obviously they have more nefarious reasons. I am assuming that the great witch wants to put her mind into his body, that way it's a young body and not an older one. But they never actually say any of that. They just need him to save humanity.
And essentially, these villains come down and try to kidnap them, and of course, the good guys win. What a bunch of stupid hijinks.
Oh, so dumb.
Like, at one point, they go in this mind palace kind of thing.
Mind palace. You watch Sherlock Holmes?
Yeah. Yes.
That was a good show.
Yeah.
Watch that instead of this. Sherlock Holmes on Netflix.
The BBC version.
Yes.
Not.
Yeah, I don't like the... I don't know if it's NBC, but whatever. The American version with the guy from Hackers.
Yeah.
It was okay for the first season if you're into traditional TV. Right. Sure, it's okay. But it got bad quick. And then Netflix kind of exploded, and now you're not used to that kind of TV show anymore. Where it's, you know, so scripted. Anyway. Sorry.
That was our review of those shows.
Yeah, the Sherlock Holmes one is f***ing good, though.
Yeah. Benedict Cumberbatch. Mm-hmm. I forgot where I was.
We were at the end with the witch and the
character body. We just flew through the plot because screw this show.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. There's not a whole lot to talk about. We don't really know what they were doing there. Just being a part of the UQ Holder Society and doing random missions, he didn't actually have like an objective he wanted to do.
Well, and they just introduced things out of nowhere. And that's why I was going with the Mind Palace, because you get to the Mind Palace and all of a sudden his grandmom shows up and she's this young thing there. And she was nothing up until this point. They didn't even mention a grandmother. Mm-hmm. And she shows up out of nowhere. And they try to save the Great Mage by showing us the 30 girls from the...
That are all in his mind and... They're not in his mind like they were added to his genetic DNA while he was being cloned or whatever. They're in his mind because
the main character is the mage's grandson and all 30 girls.
Yeah, but again, not because of, you know, genetics and they added their DNA to him, but because the great magician has memories of them and he's a descendant of the great magician. It's
Yeah, it is. It's really, really bad and crap.
Yeah, it's bad all around.
So don't.
But they beat him.
They beat him.
And then he goes back.
Did you watch the OVAs?
No.
I did.
Oh, I would not subject myself to more than I had to. If it's something good, sure.
So, the first OVA...
Well, before we get to the OVAs, real quick, they beat the guy, whatever, and then at the very last end of the episode, the main character confesses his love, sort of, for the teacher.
To his vampire mom.
Who's like 700 years old. But he doesn't really confess it like, oh, I love you. He says, I want to marry you. Will you marry me? And his reasoning was because she doesn't want to be alone.
Yeah.
And then she denies him.
Right. Meanwhile, anyway, all the other girls that are in love with him are like...
all pissed off.
Yes.
And the boy. Boy-girl thing.
Before that, there is an awful lot of nudity in this.
Well, quote-unquote nudity. You see a lot of skin. And the characters are obviously naked, but they cover the important bits.
Like, the main magician guy has the ability to sneeze and knock everyone's clothes off.
Which happens all the time.
Which is stupid.
Whenever he's on screen.
And there's a few times where they're just fighting naked for no reason.
Well, the entire last fight, which lasted like an episode and a half, happened with all the female characters, which is everyone except for the main character for the most part, with very little clothing on, because as soon as the fight started to happen, he sneezed.
Well, the most egregious one, I think, is when they were on that first mission to the refugees, and that shadow guy wraps...
Oh, yeah, that was a weird moment. He got kind of adult there.
Yeah.
The rest of the show's, teenager.
But he got, like, really rapey, obsessive with her, and it was
attacked one of the girls in, like, a bathroom while she was taking a shower or whatever.
And she's naked the whole time, being bound and stuff. Mm-hmm.
He's got, like, the power of shadows, and, like, he can make them into really long, stretchy arms, essentially, and he wraps her up with them, and he's being super perverted.
Yeah, it's...
It went weird really quick in that scene.
Yes.
Like, it's kind of weird with the quote-unquote nudity throughout the show, but it's not that bad until then. And then it was better.
Well,
I don't know.
I mean, it's even weird because the first nudity scene we got was with the androgynous kid, and we thought he was grabbing a girl's butt at the time because it shows it, and it's like, oh, wait, that's a guy. I guess.
And then we find out later it's genderless.
Yeah, and then he's in love with her, and one episode he's dressing up as a girl to go on a date with him.
Not just dressing up as a girl, he changed his gender to a girl because they got into a fight while he was dressed as the girl, and he kept remarking about how he didn't have any strength, he didn't have any power because he's in his girl form.
Yeah, it's weird. But, so, the OVAs, the first one, they get weird too, because the first one is... He gets, it goes to the vampire girl's past, and she gets, did you catch the heavyset woman at the end of this that they showed in the last episode? They just showed her at the very last, it's like one of the last scenes.
I don't think so.
On top of the stadium.
Oh, man. Maybe?
Well, because she's important in the next episode.
Okay, go ahead.
And she's a witch.
Maybe?
She's a witch that owns a castle, which is like a maze that you can't escape. And she ends up taking the vampire girl when she's really young, when she first becomes a vampire, and locks her in it. However, as she's traveling through it and trying to find an escape, she runs into the main character several couple times. And apparently it's been in time and space, so she met him before she even met him.
Oh, Christ.
Apparently,
so dumb.
The main character was her first crush.
Of course.
And
she said earlier on that I've only ever loved three people, and she we know two of them, but she didn't actually say the third.
Right.
That makes sense.
And we start off this episode in a hot spring with all the girls naked talking about their first crushes.
Of course, another hot spring.
And so that's that whole episode. And the second OVA is one of the girls that has a crush on the main character can pretty much has save points.
Yeah, so if she dies, she can go back to the save point.
Right.
Pretty much rewinding time.
Right. And so they got into some hijinks, and she's super rich, and the main character accidentally causes her to hit a button and lose all of her money. So she tries to kill herself to restart to her last save point, but she accidentally kills herself at the same time as putting out the fire, you know, that candle that there's in, and stops time completely.
Oh.
And only her and the main character are still moving. So they're like, and everyone else is frozen in place, and they're in this place trying to figure out how to get out of it for months and months and months and months until she finally figured out that she has to do what they were doing when they first went. And of course they were accidentally kissing at the time.
Of course.
And then they restart time and everybody's like, what's happening? Why are you guys dressed differently and stuff like that?
They're kissing.
Yep. And then the third episode, the main character steals a chocolate from the vampire girl's desk, which apparently makes you tell you the truth.
Oh, Christ.
And then the other you know, really reserved chick, also ate a chocolate. But she ate one of the chocolates that didn't. But she thought she did, so she was telling the truth when she didn't have to.
Of course.
Uh-huh. And so it's just it's crap OVA stories.
It's also nothing original.
No, it's all bullcrap. And it was an excuse.
Nothing in the show was original. Honestly, bland.
The OVAs were an excuse to expand on why these girls like this guy. That's all it was, because it was three spotlights on three characters who didn't get more romantic time with the main character.
All right, so what are you going to score?
Oh, man.
It's below average, but how far below, right? A 3 or a 4. It's not terrible, but it's definitely below average. It's not something I would ever want to watch again.
It's not a 4. I was actually leaning more towards a 2.
Yeah?
Yeah, but I don't know.
I think maybe 3.
3?
I think 3.
Yeah,
3. At best, it was average in certain points, and at worst, it was terrible.
Yes.
You know, there was nothing above average.
No.
And even at its average points, it's like one little aspect, like maybe the art was average at this point, maybe the voice acting in this one little section was pretty average. Everything else is shit, though. Anyway, so what else for you?
Ultramarine Magmel.
I didn't really like that one.
No,
you didn't. I don't think I hated it as much as this one, though.
Unbreakable Machine Doll.
That was better.
No, I said it's still my worst anime ever.
Really?
Because of the OVAs that had little girl rape in it.
Stop watching OVAs. Anyway.
And Ungo.
Ungo. Ungo was,
he could see spirits, and it had that weird...
The lady?
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh. That was a tough one.
Well, Ungo's... I got mine's easily Ungo.
I didn't like Ungo very much.
Yeah, but it was better than the other three.
But... I rank, when I rank these, I rank what would I rather watch again.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather watch Magmel before I'd watch that. And then and then this, and then Unbreakable Machine Doll, and then Ungo. And the numbers probably won't match up, but it's not, again, it's not numbers, it's what I would rather subject myself to again.
I completely disagree. My number one is easily Ungo. All
right.
Easily, without a doubt. And then I have trouble between this and Ultramarine Magmel. I think I would go Magmel this, then Unbreakable Machine Doll.
That's fair.
So, yeah.
Different opinions. Alright, guys, we are spinning for Category V. Not a whole lot in V. I clicked through all of them. Really, none of them look good. So, we're doing it.
Wow.
We got Violence Jack.
We were looking at this one off.
Yeah, we were clicking all of them.
But this one we lingered on.
It looks pretty old. It looks like something that was probably made in the 80s. Action drama horror. It's 3 episodes, but they're longer. Like, I think they're somewhere between 30 minutes and an hour each.
Yeah, and they don't have, like, episode numbers. It's like...
Yeah, the first one's Violence Jack Evil Town. The second one's Violence Jack Hell's Wind English Dubbed. Third one's Violence Jack Harem Bomber English Dub, which is weird. Usually it's numbered, or if it's OVA, it'll say it's an OVA or something. I guess it's maybe, you know, they got someone else to upload some of them, or maybe, you know, that the guy that does the site uploaded this one first and didn't have a system yet. Who knows? Evil Town is a buried city, a lightless vermin-infested hell suffocating beneath a million tons of masonry and iron. While the survivors struggle against disease and starvation, control of Evil Town has been split into 3 warring sections. The corrupt Section A, the psychotic gangs of Section B, and the secretive C, with whom no contact can be made. I don't know why I did that in that voice.
I don't know, but you seem to be enjoying it.
Yeah,
so.
I started it, and I was like, I gotta finish it now. The art for it, like I said, looks old, but it almost looks like a comic book cover.
A little bit, yeah.
Like, all that, it just looks a little odd.
It looks as old as Lupin did.
Yeah, it could be 70s. I'm gonna pause it and find out. So, the manga first came out in 73, and, like, there was, like, sections of the manga, almost like light novels, and the last one came out in 2008, which is pretty interesting that it kept going for that long. That box art's f***ing weird. It
looks like Yusuke Urameri.
A little bit, yeah. Anyway, next episode, Violence Jack.
Bye.
See ya.